Tonight, we kickstart our week of prayer, a time and a season for us to come together as a church. We haven't had one whole of last year, and this year we're having one, and we're so excited. I know everyone was expecting a big crowd, but we are so thankful for those that are here and for those that are watching at home. As I said to some this evening, so I'd like to welcome you all, welcome our viewers, and most importantly, I'd like to welcome our speaker for tonight. We'll have different speakers for the rest of the week, but Brother Richard Olivares, my Latino brother, I call him, will be sharing with us tonight. His family will be singing with him in music, so it's going to be an Olivares night tonight, which is a beautiful thing. But with that being said, I know I talk too much. Some of you say, come on, mate, time. All right. I'd like to invite you all to bow your heads, close your eyes so we can pray. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for being with us through our challenges, through our trials, through whatever we may be going through in our lives. We're so grateful, Lord, that we have this time and this opportunity to worship you, to honor you, and to give you. Lord, as we come together to pray, we ask that your Holy Spirit may fall upon this church. It may fall upon the hearts of men, that men may realize the time and the hour we live. And that, Lord, we may set aside our differences. We may set aside whatever the case might be so that we can come boldly before your throne of grace and that we may feel your presence. And that, Lord, that the Spirit that touches us, we may want to go and share the good news with others. So we thank you, Lord, for this hour. We pray for Brother Richard as he shares. We pray for those that are present that will be praying tonight. We just ask, Lord, that your will may be done as I humbly ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to sing a few songs now, and I just want to share a thought with you. This week, I heard a song, and the lyrics said, "No one can worship on your behalf what God has done for you." And I just want to encourage all of you to worship tonight for what God has done in your life for you. The first song we are singing is "How Great Is Our God." Please stand with us if you feel.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
One more time, how great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
The next song is Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown
tonight is Here I Am to Worship.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow. here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Stop raining. It was sunny today. we had lots of rain where we live. Almost flooded. Not quite, but I couldn't do anything for 2 days because I'm trying to finish some stuff at home and I just couldn't do anything because of the rain. And the thunderstorm and the lightnings and everything else, and it was really bad. But I tell you what, it feels so good to come and worship our Creator, the Creator of the rain and the thunder and the flooding and the waters, to come here and just pause a little bit and think about our Creator, our God, our Savior, Jesus. This is a week of prayer. You know, I want to thank the young kids here. It pays to have lots of kids, you know. You know, you can do a lot of things when you have lots of kids. So I've been blessed with lots of kids and nephews and so on, and with a talent, you know, just make sure that we've got to take advantage of that. So I want to thank you for the music. That was really, really nice. This is a week of prayer. in a week of prayer has things that are part of the week of prayer, and that is singing, that is also hearing the word of God, but it's also coming and being able to pray together. Would you agree? You know, I think it is a good thing. I think when the church prays together, there's a song in I don't know if it's in English, but in Spanish, it says something like, when the people of God prays, things happen. That corporate prayer is very powerful. And I think that's it's something that we should take advantage of, that corporate prayer. Pray for each other. Pray with each other. And I think that's great. And tonight we're going to be doing that. And throughout the week, we're also going to be doing that. We're going to be praying together. But also, I think it's a good opportunity to, I guess, express ourselves if you want. It's not compulsory. And share with others if you have any testimonies or anything that you want to thank God for. Maybe you want to do it in 1 or 2 minutes. The keyboard, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think it's, yeah, it's that. It's noisy. Thank you. I just want to share something with you. I just want to thank God because he's been good to me. He's been amazing to me. You know, when you're approaching 60, a lot of things come with the age, and that's your health kind of like starts deteriorating. Have you driven a 60-year-old car? No, you haven't? Well, if you drive one, you'll see what I mean. If it's not one thing, it's the other. You know, if it's not you know, the gearbox, it's the brakes or the wheels or the chassis and whatever it is, you're always constantly fixing things, and it seems like you never stop fixing things to an old car. Well, that's my body. You know, it's kind of like breaking down, and so these last couple of weeks, I've been at the mechanic, the body mechanic, the doctors and specialists, you know, taking a lot of, what do you call it, when you do a lot of tests and all that stuff, you know, they put you in little machines and things that are really noisy and scary, and they inject you with little things that make you feel funny, and all just to see whether, you know, I'm okay. And to tell you the truth, I was a little bit, I wasn't scared, but I was a little bit concerned that maybe this time they'll probably find something, because I'm getting, you know, to that age where usually when the doctor sees you, he kind of like gets scared for you, you know, and he says, oh, well, you know, you're almost 60, so you need to be careful with your height or something else, you know. And so, but thank God that everything was fine. And I can rest, and I can thank God for giving me health and life, which is very precious, especially if you're sick. And I know that we have a lot of people that are going through sickness. They've gone, not just you know, your heart or your lungs, but also mental sickness is a big one. You know, there are a lot of people suffering from mental sickness. And I think we should also have that in mind and pray for people like that. So I'd like to give the opportunity to anyone that would have anything to share with us. And something short might not be that significant maybe to you, but for us, it might encourage us to praise God and thank him for what he has done. And then we're just going to pray together, and we're going to pray for each other. So if anyone tonight is valiant and want to thank God, Okay. I'm sure everyone has something to thank God. But sometimes it's a little bit scary to speak out. Yes, we have someone there. Okay, sister.
They come into those prayer groups, you know, like our children walking away from God, and that's one of the main themes, you know, mothers crying over their children, and you know, you really sympathize, and I know that God sympathizes with these mothers, and you know, people with so much sickness and all sorts of things, and I've heard so many powerful prayers, and you know, a lot of people committing suicide because they've got no all around the country. You know, we're so blessed in Australia, and these countries like Japan, and that a lot of people try to commit suicide, and we're praying, you know, and trying to find solutions where they can get help and support. And I just really want to thank God, because when people come in there, they just feel so much peace and so much joy, and we're looking for answers in the Bible where they can trust and believe in God. So I really want to thank God for that. He is so merciful, long-suffering, and in that you just find God is really, Jesus is really, really beautiful in every way. Amen.
Amen.
Richard, can I just quickly, a highlight for me this week was spending time with a young man. He's in his early 30s. He came for spiritual counseling. He's seeing psychologists, but he decided to come and see a spiritual counselor. A young man of Adventist background and going through depression and anxiety. And what do you say? And we spent a good hour talking. And what made my day was just a sense of spark and hope that there will be light at the end of tunnel. So that really made my day, and I was grateful to God for that.
Amen. Great. Well, there's a lot to thank God. As I was saying, there's so much need out there. And not just out there, but within our church as well. So I was just waiting to see how many people would come to see how we're going to do the prayers. But if you want to get together in groups of, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 perhaps, for 2 or 3 minutes and pray together, maybe pray for each other, pray for the church, pray for the young kids, pray for your health. There's so many things to pray for, but not just that. I think in our prayers there also should be a lot of praising and thanksgiving to God. If you got nothing to pray for, thank God for everything you have. And I think that's a good prayer. So I'm just going to give you 3-4 minutes for you just to gather around whoever you feel comfortable with. If you want to do it with your families or friends, it's up to you. And then we'll just come together again, and we'll continue the program.
Solo allí encontraré paz. así profundo amor. Mi delicia es con Él, comunión disfrutar y por siempre su nombre alabar. Paz y profundo amor, mi delicia es con Él, comunión disfrutar y por siempre su nombre alabar. Hoy yo quiero habitar al abrigo de Dios. Solo allí encontraré paz y profundo amor. Mi delicia es con Él, comunión disfrutar y por siempre su nombre alabar. Y por siempre su nombre alabar y por siempre su nombre alabar.
Beautiful melody. Without a doubt, we live in a very special time. We live in a society where the paradigm has been completely shifted. We live in a time where this shift has been from what we call the end of time to the time of the end. We live what the scripture calls the eschatological time, where the coming of Christ is becoming so real. Would you agree? I feel that Christ he's very close. My father passed away last year. Being a minister for I don't know how many decades, he always had this notion and this dream that he would not see death because he had this faith in God that God would come in his time. And I think one of the biggest thing or the biggest disappointment when he died was not being able to be there when Jesus comes. And so for me, those last Bible studies that we looked at, it was all about the assurance that no matter where you're, either you're alive or you're dead, you would see the coming of Christ. And I think we've come to that point. We're living in a period where Jesus himself says people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaking. And when we look around, that's exactly what we see. People are afraid. People are scared of the future. They're scared of the present. Everything is so unpredictable that they don't know whether they're going to have a job tomorrow or not, whether they're going to have something to eat tomorrow. But all Paul also says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's very important. Love, the spirit of power, love, but also of knowledge, and to understand where we are. It's interesting that Psalm 91 has become one of the most sought after Google search. If you go into Google search and look up which is the verse that is most commonly looked at, Psalm 91 is up there. I mean, there are hundreds of promises like this just in the book of Psalm, let alone in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. But Psalm is one of those chapters that people are searching for because they're scared. They look at Psalm 91 and it's become so popular because it provides with the most assuring promises you and I can hope for, especially in these uncertain times of pandemic and other world events that are taking place. I remember when growing up, my grandmother used to read us Psalm 91 just before going to bed. And so every night at one stage I used to recite it by memory, but over the years I've forgotten a lot of the verses there. But it was a psalm that we used to hear every night, and my grandmother used to go to her bed and leave the Bible open in that particular chapter because that was a chapter that was going to provide a sound sleep. But are the promises of Psalm 91 conditional or unconditional? Is there something in the book of, in this particular chapter that we're missing? Is there something in there that is telling us something in order for us to be able to claim these promises? Because the Bible is full of promises. When you read the Bible is full of promises, beautiful promises. But see, sometimes when we look at these promises and we look at our lives, sometimes they don't match because there are the promises, but they're not happening in our lives because we go through trials and we go through problems and we go through situations that we kind of like question these promises. For example, Job, did he believe in these promises? I'm sure he did. And so, what's the difference between conditional and unconditional? There's a little story in 2 Samuel chapter 16, and it's the story of Shimei. Now, Shimei was from the clan of Saul, which Saul was the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. And when David was going through his son Absalom was creating some problems and he wanted to take over and he was creating a conspiracy, I would say, against King David. And King David grabs some of his armies and whoever followed him and they ran away from Jerusalem. And they crossed the Kidron Valley. And as he crosses that valley and he goes up the hill, he goes into what they call the Benjamite land. And this guy, Shimei's son of Gera, he comes out to meet David. And he starts shouting at him and insulting the king. He starts cursing him, and he says to him, "Get out, you men of blood, you scoundrel. You deserve this because of what you did to my father Saul, and now your son Absalom will take over because you don't deserve this." And he started insulting him and throwing stones at him and cursing him. And one of his officials, like the army guy, what was his name? His name was Abishai. He says to the king, oh Lord, you want me to go and kill this dog that is talking to you like that? How can you allow that? And David says something very interesting. He says, my son, who is my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Maybe the Lord wants this to happen to me. And so that was, he left. And if you follow this story, which I'm not going to get into this story because we're not talking about this, it's just I just want to give an example of what this commitment and the promises of Psalm 91. David crowns his son Solomon as a king. And before dying, David calls Solomon to him, and he gives the last instructions before he died. And he says, look, my son, you have to be faithful to God. You know, the day you depart yourself from the law of God and the precepts of God, you're not going to be successful. So you've got to be faithful to God and make sure that you're a spiritual leader, etc., etc. And by the way, he says to him, take care of some unfinished businesses for me. Namely, Joab, which he was one of his generals. The problem is Joab had killed two generals, Abner and Amasa. And so David says to Solomon, take care of that business. And also, he says, take care of Shimei. And so Solomon, when it comes to power, he sends and he kills Joab. And Solomon sends for Shimei. And he says to him, this is the guy that was throwing stones at David a few years earlier. And he says to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there. But the day you leave Jerusalem, you will die. Simple. What do you think? And he says, what you say is good, I will do. About 3 years later, two of his servants, this is Shimei, two of his servants ran away. And they went down to Gath, which is about 50 kilometers away towards the land of the Philistines. And Shimei, he follows them. He goes after them and he brings them back to Jerusalem. But there was a whistleblower. And a few days later, he gets a visit from some soldiers from the court. And they said to him, you need to come with us. The king wants to see you. And he's thinking, what did I do? So he goes to the King Solomon, and Solomon says, did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you on the day you leave to go anywhere else, you can be sure you will die? This is I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 2. You said, what you say is good, I will obey. This is Shimei. Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you? You know in your heart all the wrong you did to my father David. Now the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoings. And so what Solomon does next, he commands one of his soldiers, and he goes out and kills him. Now, what are the promises of God attached to? What happens when we break the promises of God? Because God will never break the promises. You can be sure about that. He has never broken any promises whatsoever. Because God does not break promises. But what happens when we break promises? Unlocking the promises of Psalm 91. Throughout this week, we're going to look at different keys. So slowly, we'll begin to open these promises. And these keys are part of what we call the upper room experiences. Now, these upper room experiences, they're like a synonym of your life of prayer or your life with God. And we're going to look at that. I'm quickly going to read Psalm. I don't know if we have it up there. I think it's the other way. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Can you identify with that? I love these verses. It gives me so much assurance. It gives me so much faith and belief in what God can do for me as a Christian. Surely, foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence, He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midnight. Oh, sorry, at midday. That kind of like sounds a little bit of what's happening around. You know, it's kind of like a bit too close to home. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and set the punishment and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him what? My salvation. We're going to try and unlock this, what it means. But there are two key verses here. Two key verses that are very important in order for us to be able to unlock this promise and have this shift from just being a poem, just a poem, a beautiful poem, to be a real promise in our lives. Quickly, verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High, your dwelling. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, I'm kind of like reading something there. I don't know if you're reading what I'm reading. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake. I'm also reading something in verse 14. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I'm reading something there. Are you? Are you reading what I'm reading? It says something there, doesn't it? Because he loves me. Who's saying that? The Lord is saying that. Let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Can God say that of you? Can God really say about me, Richard loves me? Can he say that? Can God say about me, if you make your dwelling with me, then I will protect you? Can God really say about me, for he acknowledges my name? Can God really say that about me? The upper room experience is a synonym with your prayer life. The place of and time you spend with God developing this refuge and your dwelling where God lives. Jesus says in John 15, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There's a clue there, isn't it? He also says in Matthew 10, he says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. I think there's something in those two verses, isn't it? Paul says, we pray in 2 Thessalonians, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I love this chapter 14 of John. I love that chapter. He says, if you love me, he says, because you love me, I will. Because you love me, I will rescue him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And in verse 23, he says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever dwells with the Most High. You know, there's all a relationship. There are so many verses in the scripture that teaches us how to claim the promises of not just Psalm 91, but all his promises. Isn't that amazing? This is what we're going to be looking at this week. From Monday, we're going to be diving into different stories in the scripture. And each story is going to give us a clue, a key, so we can open that door little by little in our experience with the upper room. Remember, the upper room is a prayerful life experience. Do you have an upper room? Are you afraid of heights? Do you want Psalm 91 to become more than just a poem, but you want it to become a reality in your life? Let's come back and look at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're going to look at different stories of how God can give us those keys in order for us to truly understand His promises. Let's pray. Father in heaven, first of all, I want to thank you because you are faithful to your promises. Your promises will never fail. And we want to thank you for that. Teach us, show us, help us to love you. Help us to learn how to abide with you where you are in the Most High. But also help us to really acknowledge you in our lives. So thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenges. And thank you for the spirit that guides us in the understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you want to go home and read the story of Rahab, you can come back and know exactly what we're talking about. The story of Rahab.